Welcome to the podcast that explores mysterious disappearances, bizarre worldly occurrences, strange phenomenon, and basically everything that's weird. Welcome to the podcast, everything that's weird. We're your hosts, Brandon and Anthony, and tonight we're talking about Antarctica, Admiral Byrd, and ancient civilizations.
Yeah, suck it, flat earthers.
Just so we don't, like, alienate anybody, Middle Earth and Flat Earth, totally different vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Flat earthers say that Antarctica is just a sheet of ice that's...
It's an ice wall.
Several miles tall.
Yeah, and it just goes around the edge.
And it is the border of the disk that is the Earth. The thing with those guys is it's really crazy how convincing, like, I don't believe it, but, like, how convincing they are when they talk about it. But it's kind of like this story. This story is
a
little out there.
The flat earthers, I think, are idiots. They do nothing. I've never seen a flat earther give you a model to scale. It's always like the sun's always like right next to the moon, right next to the earth.
It's a lot of little experiments.
Yeah, that they've proved themselves wrong before.
Well, the worst was that tweet or X or whatever you call it now, when he's like, you know, flat earthers from around the globe are coming to our convention.
Yeah.
They're like,
yeah.
Oh, come on, bro.
Yeah. That was funny.
You destroyed your own theory in a tweet,
right. Yeah.
In one sentence.
Yeah. Well, the one All guy right. did an experiment with a helicopter where they like went across the lake and they put a camera at level looking across the lake, and they got in the helicopter, and when they went over there, he's like, I can't see anymore. How high are you off the ground? They were like 30 feet. And they were like, oh, uh-oh.
And I do get it. There's some things that, like, that really, like, play with your eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
There's optical illusions, obviously.
Sure.
You know, so I get it. And I'm one of the first ones to say, who's taking that picture in space? Yeah. When they take the picture of the space shuttle from back, I mean, who took that picture?
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm the first one to say that. But, like, there is an explanation most of the time.
Mm-hmm. But anyway.
So first we'll start off with Admiral Byrd. We could do like a whole series. We could do a whole podcast on Antarctica.
Yeah.
But would it say, like, what's weird about Antarctica? There's a hollow earth story about like a very respected admiral in the Navy. There is some natural phenomenon, if you would call it that, or like signs of, like, you know, structures that were there, like ancient pyramids. And then there's, like, further was there actually, like, you know, an advanced civilization. So we'll just start with Admiral Byrd. He's got quite the lineage. Anybody that's related to Pocahontas,
right.
I mean, right. Come on. Yeah. If that doesn't get you into every college.
Yeah, he's got a lot of people in this.
But Pocahontas
takes the cake.
But. Yeah, but John Rolfe, who's married to Pocahontas, is in his lineage, and he's friends with Edsel Ford, and Henry Ford's son, like daughter-in-law.
Mm.
And that makes sense, the Edsel, the car. I put that together literally like 2 days ago. I didn't know the history of the Edsel, but So he has a ridiculous lineage. But he doesn't have money because he doesn't finish the Virginia Military Institute and has to leave and joins the Navy. But he gets pretty high up in the Navy. Pretty quick.
Relatively quick for, you know, how high a rank he got.
So yeah. One thing I read about him was that he was supposed to be...
which he got to Rear Admiral, which is got to be number one funniest rank of any military.
Right. You know.
Congratulations on being Rear Admiral. Oh.
I read something about him that he was supposed to be on a blimp flight.
Yeah.
That crashed.
And it crashed, yeah.
And not everybody died, but a lot of people died.
Well, he missed his train, right?
Right. So he thought this was like kind of like his fate, like, you know, things weren't working out for him, but it ended up being like his saving grace.
Mm-hmm.
So he flies over the North Pole. He was in that contest by some millionaire at the time who could fly the transatlantic flight to Paris, but he lost to Charles Lindbergh.
Mm-hmm.
But he does fly across the North Pole, even though that's kind of disputed. He flies across the South Pole. He does several different Arctic and Antarctic expeditions. Yeah. And the first one is in the late 20s, then one in the 30s. And then the main one that we're going to talk about is his fourth mission, and it's called Operation High Jump.
Mm-hmm.
So Operation High Jump, they believed at the time, I say the government, believed that the Nazis, which they were,
mm-hmm,
very interested in Antarctica for a bunch of reasons. One was Hitler, I've read this in a bunch of different places, was obsessed with our treating of the Native Americans. And that was kind of his model for a society. But one thing he really liked about America was like our geographical advantage military wise.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we're on our own. You see people coming. Mm-hmm. We kind of had control of our portion of the globe.
We got two throwaway countries on either side of us.
All right. And he was really interested in starting up in Antarctica. And he knew by these expeditions that it was like super rich in resources, which makes sense because it hadn't been touched in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So he sends people down there, and at the time, Norway had laid claim.
Wasn't it also about whale fat too? Oil,
absolutely, because they were the number one consumer of whale oil.
Yeah,
and he was trying to like. Oh, I didn't know that's what it's for. Was it really?
Yeah,
they love their butter. The Germans.
Fucking. Yeah.
There's two things Germans love.
Margarine.
And beer.
Yeah.
So he really liked the advantage of Antarctica. Mm. And he sent teams down there, and they literally like just took the Norwegian flags out and got to toss them. And they did set up a base. Called Base 211.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when we won in World War II, when the Allies won in World War II, they thought it was much deeper than that. They thought that they were actually setting up a fourth Reich. And the reason they thought that was because on his flyovers, he saw that not all of Antarctica was ice. And this is true. So this is kind of crazy. It just in and of itself is that there is a very natural phenomenon that happens called the Bunger Oasis or the Bunger Hills. And another like terrible name, but there's legit like lakes that are like 40 degrees with no snow, and it's a pretty big area. It's it's like 300 square miles.
Yeah,
of these, I don't think they're freshwater, right? They're like brackish. Mm. They're both. They're not seawater, but they're also.
If they're in Antarctica, they would have to be freshwater. Because it would just be snow melt. Snow and ice melt.
Well, I thought they came up from...
Because it'd be solid. Because Antarctica's
so
rock.
I thought that part of it was there were these caverns from like the underneath the ice. Mm-hmm. And they thought that they were able to like find their way through the in like U-boats.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to find their way through these like underground rivers and lakes and created their own base, basically.
All right.
So he's down there. He takes 4,000 people down there, which is a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember growing up, our town was not much bigger than that.
Right.
So he takes a whole town's worth of people down to Antarctica to explore. And if you see the videos, it's very, they do a lot of reenactment, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But
they had a whole armada. I mean, it was a full-blown, there was 13 ships.
Absolutely.
There were battleships. There were submarines. There was... he had two armed seaplanes. There was all kind. They had like a whole armada going down there. They were like, "We're going to explore."
And
like, right,
right. Yeah. But like they do. And if you watch the YouTube video of Operation High Jump, they land on these lakes, and they like, and they say that there's more coal, you know, that could. There's enough coal to fuel the earth for, you know, several hundred years.
Yeah.
And what they find is that it's super rich in oil, uranium, which was important at the time. I guess that's still important.
Yeah.
But coal, just basically any natural resource that they have. So all that's all good. But what's weird about his expedition is that it ends kind of early. And when it ends,
they had a 35-ton snow crusher.
Right. Yes. But so. It ends. And when it ends early, they kind of like go back and it ends like a year and a half early, right?
Yeah, they took weather, bad weather.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
That's what they say. And then he is...
Oh, that's right. You guys can't see me doing air quotes.
He is a hero. He's, you know...
Yeah.
He goes back and everybody is...
That dude's had like three ticker tape parades.
Yeah, he's like a national hero. Yeah.
He's like the most decorated naval officer like ever.
He is older, and they do another expedition in the 60s. He's not there, but he's like an advisor.
Right.
And right around this time, he dies.
Yeah.
And when he dies, he has, like, you know, diaries and memoirs or whatever. And, well, this is what happens in part of his memoirs. In the end of one of his diaries... He says that he's flying over the South Pole.
It's like a flight log.
It's a flight log, and he's 10. he's like 10 miles, whatever, away from the North Pole, south, north. I guess it doesn't matter, right?
South.
Is he south?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's 10 miles south, North Pole. And he says all of a sudden the planes aren't responding, but they're still flying. And then over the radio, he gets a message from somebody saying, don't worry, we know who you are. You're in good hands. And he says, then the whole terrain changes. And it's like lush and there's trees and stuff. And he realizes he's flying into the earth.
He saw a woolly mammoth.
Well, I was getting there, but go ahead.
That was before that. That's before he got taken by the aliens. He saw that first.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. So
he saw a woolly mammoth and then the aliens got him.
Then they take control of his plane.
Mm-hmm. And yes, then his propeller stops spinning.
So they're in control of him and they bring him into this like super futuristic city.
Yeah.
And it's run by these aliens called the Ariani, which is a little too close to Aryan.
Well, that's what there was a cultist group of the Nazis that were on the expedition to go when they sent their people to Antarctica called the Thule.
Okay.
And they believed that there was this advanced civilization that lived in the earth that was called Aryans.
So, okay. So all of a sudden his temperature reads that it's 74 degrees outside. And then he goes in and then he's flanked by like flying saucers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have swastikas on them.
Mm-hmm.
And
of course.
Well, you know, what are you going to do?
Like alien Nazis.
So they bring him in and they have like a talk with him basically. And they're
slight,
like.
Slight, subtle German accent.
You know, I don't know how you like your aliens. But I like an alien that enjoys a good Oktoberfest.
Right. You know? Right. Some fried pickles and.
Right. Yeah.
Fucking Wiener Schnitzel.
Some Lederhosen, right? Like, yeah. You're like, he's like, Godspeed. And he's like, Lederhosen.
Yeah.
So he gives him this alien, this tall, blonde haired, good looking alien, gives him, I just added the good looking. I don't know how you could have done that. But he gives him a message and he says, hey, look, here's the deal. You know, you're very respected on the surface. And yeah, you're in Middle Earth. This is Middle Earth. So you're respected on the surface. So we respect you. We want you to go up and tell everybody, you know, the nuclear war thing.
Yeah.
Out of control.
You're getting out of hand, man.
It's getting out of control.
Settle down.
We tried to go, but they fight us every, which I believe that, right? If there's anything to play, they're like, they shoot at us and stuff. We're like, yeah.
Yeah. That's what they said, too. Like, every time we go out, they shoot at us.
And so he's charged with delivering this message that, you know, nuclear.
We're not ready for atomic energy.
None of it. We don't know. Mm-hmm. We don't understand the responsibility of it. We don't understand the severity of it. And he's supposed to take this back, which he does, according to the story. And then when he does, they pull out of Antarctica. Mm-hmm. So, of course, since then, everybody, there's been a treaty in the late 60s that nobody owns Antarctica. So nobody can lay claim to it. You're allowed to be there for scientific research. And it is super interesting because they have found crazy stuff. There's a whole set of mountain ranges that look like giant pyramids, and they're in the shape of pyramids. And all the time on Reddit or Instagram, people pull up stuff that they're searching for in Antarctica, and they find, you know, it looks like portals or holes or caves or whatever. Not to mention that there is like folklore that there is an ancient civilization that lived on the continent of Antarctica not that long ago. And that is actually documented in maps, whether you believe it or not. But there's like folklore that it was actually like a lush climate. And what they're kind of looking for now, and like what's kind of being leaked out now, is that there are, they haven't found like buildings, but there's evidence of like plant life and whatever, deep, when they do deep cores of ice, you know, drillings, that there is evidence of like something was there before. So Admiral Byrd, did he go into Middle Earth? Are there pyramids in Antarctica? And better yet, is this a lost civilization that maybe has been frozen over by some kind of pole shift or climate? I don't want to say climate change, but like a climate, you know, redirection or something that covered up like an ancient civilization. So let's get into some facts. Okay, so I got obsessed with Antarctica because right before Airbnb, there was something called Couch Surfers. And a friend of a friend was coming to LA, and he's like, hey, a buddy of mine I took a science class with in college is going to be in LA, and he's on this thing called Couch Surfers. Do you care if he stays at your place for like two nights? And it was this guy named Ben. And we're like, yeah, man, whatever. You know, we're in our 20s. So he shows up, and he's kind of like, he's a bookworm, dude. This guy is like, you know, it's just like exactly what I say. He's with glasses, he's kind of a smaller guy, black hair. And we're like, hey, man, you want a beer or something? He's like, yeah, I have a beer. So, you know, we're like, hey, we're going to play some poker. You want to play some poker? He's like, sure. So we're playing poker. And bro drops out, yeah, when I was in Antarctica. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, and I was 27 at the time, 26.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm like, you went to Antarctica? I'm like, are you a scientist? He's like, no. I'm like,
janitor.
I'm like, oh, what do you do? Are you an engineer? He's like, no. I'm like, what do you do? He was like a systems analyst. He's like, yeah, but that's not why I went. He's like, I didn't know what to do when I graduated. He's like, so I was like online and it said, do you want to work in Antarctica? And he's like, sure. So here's what's crazy. He just went on this site and is like, yeah, I just graduated college. And so they're like, okay, there's all these jobs you could do. So one of the jobs he did, he drove this bus between stations. And it's this giant bus with no windows. And we're like, it doesn't have any windows. He's like, you can't have windows. He's like, it would blow the whole thing over. He's like, unless you're in a really tight, compact thing, you can't have windows. So this thing had no windows, and he would shuttle people back and forth. He said, if you go outside ever, you have to, it's the buddy system. You have to have somebody with you.
Yeah.
Because
you can white out.
You white out, and they have like these tether lines where you strap on to walk from building to building, because at any time, like the katabatic winds, am I saying that right?
It sounds right.
Okay. They just whip up.
We'll have to get Mario on that one.
Yeah, maybe. And they just whip up and whatever. It's just, yeah, everything like goes white. So he had like a dorm. He was a bus driver. And then everybody has to have two jobs. So even if you're a scientist, even if that's what you do, you have to be a janitor, or you have to be a cook. So he was a bus driver, and he worked at the bar. So they have a bar. Yeah. They have a bar in Antarctica. And he said, dude, listen. He's like, during the week, it's pretty quiet. He's like, people come in, they have a beer or two, you know. He's like, but on Saturday, it gets crazy. He's like, all the different camps come to this one bar. So, like, he said, the Australians are nuts. He's like, those guys, they drink more than anybody else. So he said that they all come together at this one bar, and they just party on Saturday. Like Saturday, they rip it up. They go crazy. And the karaoke, and they just they like let loose, you know, because it's tough being down there, you know. And he's there for 6 months, and then you're done. So you're on this like tour or whatever. And he said he knew people that stayed the winter, but the winter population goes way down.
Yeah.
So people that live, I don't know, do we have a number on that?
Yeah, in the summer months it's like 5,000, and then in the winter months it's just a few hundred.
Right. So like it dwindles pretty fast. So like, but they're constantly getting, you know, they're constantly getting supplies and whatever. But I was fascinated with that. So ever since I've been hooked on it. And then when YouTube started dropping these Admiral Byrd things, I even more like, you know, and then I was like fascinated with that. There was an oasis for one thing that, you know, you think it's just like the end of the world and, you know, nothing can survive there. But there's actually like some kind of geothermal activity that keeps it, these lakes, you know, above freezing, at least for part of the year.
Well, and that place is bigger than the United States. So
it is. It's fifth, right? Or it's fourth.
It's
so because Russia, I think it's, hold on. We'll get Mario on that. But I think it's fourth. I think it's the fourth biggest landmass. As they count it as a country, even though it's not a country. But I think it's Russia, China, Canada, Antarctica, and us. I think.
Yeah. I saw an overlay map once with America placed on it. And it goes, America goes like kind of like edge to edge. But there's like a top and bottom that still fill out that's way bigger.
Yeah. Well, so. And I feel like Alaska is all never counted.
Yeah. Yeah. It I was mean, just like mainland Hawaii's, America.
Yeah. Hawaii's tiny. You could drive around. The Big Island, we drove around it like a couple hours. But like Alaska is like, I don't know, correct me, is it like almost half the size of the continental United States?
Yeah. It's pretty close.
Yeah, so like there's so Antarctica is always getting slighted, but it's crazy. There's all kinds of natural phenomenon, like there's blood falls, and they think that's for like iron deposits, but it literally looks like blood is flowing out of the ice. It's just deep red waterfall basically, and they think it's just like iron deposits that are coming, you know, through the ice. Which is crazy when you think about, like, the ore and how much gold and silver, like, platinum, like, how much hard metals are in there, you know.
Never know.
Never know, right. But there's several camps there. Several different countries have stations there. We've set up several camps there. Admiral Byrd set up a camp there.
The Nazis did.
And yeah, it's on the bottom of the earth. But the big question with the first part is Admiral Byrd. So he flies into Middle Earth, not Flat Earth. Middle Earth has a whole other meaning. Not that, like, you know, where Flat Earth, we're two dimensional. Whereas Middle Earth, there's surface dwellers, and then there's people that live in the earth. So, like, little fun fact, I won't name them, I won't Bubba Gump it, but, like, there's a whole list of civilizations throughout history that talk about Middle Earth.
Yeah.
So they, or in one way or another, they either say that their ancestors are from caves, or they came up from the underworld, or that there is an underworld, or in medieval times, there's, like, in Ireland, there were knights that went, you know, into the underworld.
In China, they just recently, I'm pretty sure it was China, found, like, a cave. Did you see that, where it was, like, completely hand-carved out with big columns left? Out of the rock. It's pretty wild, because it'd be really, really, really old. And it was all hand carved out. But it was out of solid rock.
Okay, Mark, how big is Antarctica?
So, as far as countries go, it's the second biggest behind Russia.
Really?
But then continents, it's number five.
Yeah, I mean,
you go Asia, yeah. Asia, Africa, North America, South America, then Antarctica.
But if it was a country, which I guess it's a territory, if it was a country, it'd be second?
Yeah, because Russia, Antarctica, Canada, China, U.S. And then Brazil, Australia.
Yeah, Brazil's a sleeper. You don't count that. But so the Middle Earth is a thing in history, kind of like Noah's, like the Great Flood, right?
Yeah.
A lot of civilizations mention Middle Earth. And the reason why that's important, and whether or not the government is telling us the truth, is that when all of this, the UAP, UFO, all that shit came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they're like, hey, I know COVID, but, you know, there's aliens. And everybody's like, yeah, no, we don't really care about the aliens. Tell us about COVID. But, like,
right.
One of the first early on things they said is they've always been here. They're not, like, there's a large part of them have always been here. They're not from outer space.
Just chilling in Antarctica.
Well, all over. So it's been said that more of space has been explored than the ocean.
Yeah.
And I kind of believe that.
Yeah.
I think Neil deGrasse Tyson said that. He, like, held up a glass of water. And he's like, this is how much, if you take all the water in the world, this is how much has been explored. And, I mean, it makes sense, because I've seen pictures of whales that have, like, giant bite marks out of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? You've seen that, right?
Well, you know, the colossal squid and the giant squid both were discovered because of marks on, like, sperm whale. Where they'd have these giant suction cup marks on them and big claw marks on them. And they were like, what the hell is making these marks on these whales? And then they found a Chinese fishing vessel ended up catching one in the net. And then they, you know, eventually proved it. They found some more specimens of them. But they, like, live down underwater so deep that nobody ever sees them. I mean, they're gigantic, you know. Monstrous. Mario could probably look up the size of a colossal squid or a giant squid. But you're talking about, like, a massive creatures that nobody even knew about until just very recently. So there's...
So, okay, the other thing is, it's kind of like, they said 21 million years that it's been under ice.
Yeah.
But there's a Turkish map. I don't know how much you believe the people in Turkey, but, like, there's a Turkish map.
It's one of, like, the oldest civilizations have been found in Turkey.
Right? And oddly, they're in control of Noah's Ark too. But what does it say?
Okay, the colossal squid's 39 to 46 feet long.
He's a tall drink of water.
That's a big fucking thing to be in the water taking on sperm whale and shit.
Yeah.
Well, it's the sperm whale. What's that? That's what it's doing, is the sperm whale's attacking them and eating them, and they're defending themselves. So they get these giant claw marks and suction cup marks on them.
Have you seen that TikTok where the kids are survivors of dad jokes? he's like, my dad said, how do you make an octopus laugh? And he's like, tentacles. And it was like, now he hates marine life on the bottom. But there is a map from 500 years ago. It was discovered in Turkey. It's called, it was on gazelle skin, right? It's called the Piri Reis map.
Yeah. I've heard of it.
And it shows Antarctica as, like, a legit country that's, like, up and running.
Yeah.
And that's kind of interesting because, you know, at that time, especially at that time, when you go to, like, 1000 AD, basically until, you know, they rediscovered the West because people were here. But, like, that was a big time for, like, Vikings and all kinds of explorers, you know, trying to find out what the world looks like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you have cartographers. Am I saying that right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Plotting, you know, all these things, all these places they've been, whether it's accurate or not, who knows? But this particular map shows Antarctica as, like, a lush country, not ice.
Yeah.
There's a few islands. Mario, can you check the islands close to Antarctica that nobody's ever been on?
Yeah.
So these have only been a few, whereas Antarctica, you know, it's a tiny part of the population of Earth that's ever been on Antarctica, period. But, like, I did a kitchen for a guy that went to Antarctica. He was on a cruise out of Argentina, and they dropped him off. There's one point that they'll let you get off in Antarctica, take pictures, there's a few penguins for, you know, and then they, you know, you get back on the ship and you leave.
Hey, do you remember when we were lied to on Chilly Willy?
Oh yeah, of course.
Some penguin and the polar bear.
You know why? Yeah, that's like a great riddle.
You know, I don't even remember how old I was when I finally realized that polar bears were in the Arctic and penguins were in Antarctica. They were nowhere near each other. They were as far away from each other as you could possibly be.
So, Bird did go to both. He did fly over both.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to say
The North Pole one is still... I read up on his North Pole one, and it sounds fishy.
Well, like he lied,
before,
right?
Like he turned around before he got there because his time didn't make sense and shit.
There's do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
No.
Okay, pretty funny.
I've seen it here and there, but
okay. Well, one of them was Larry meets a guy that's Japanese. And he said, my father was kamikaze pilot. And he's like, really? Wow, that's crazy. And he's like, how old are you? And he's like, hey, I am 55. And he's like, well, how was your dad a kamikaze? Your dad was a kamikaze pilot? Like, yeah. He's like, well, isn't that like a suicide mission? He's like... He grazed the ship. He didn't crash it. Well, he grazed it. but yeah, his co-pilot said later that he wasn't the first one to fly across the North Pole because they didn't actually make it.
Yeah.
But let me just say this. As somebody that has flown a plane with very minimal technology attached to it, flying a plane over the North Pole, Jesus Christ, at that time.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like the balls.
Well, his commendations were from those flights and journeys and shit and exploration trips. So I think it's like what his Medal of Honor was for.
So it's Scott Island, Mario, right?
Yeah, I'm seeing there's some that they can't definitively say that no one's been on.
Well, it's not that nobody's been on them. They're super restricted. Scott Island, and that is right.
Yeah.
And so it is. So unlike Antarctica, right off, there's an archipelago. Man, I'm just dropping it today.
Yeah.
So there's an archipelago.
Fucking thesaurus over here.
Off of Antarctica, that's Scott Island, you're right. There's some kind of endangered something there. I don't know what it is, but only a handful of scientists have been there. And I think because it's relatively new, and I don't know exactly why. Hold on.
Some kind of bird.
But not very. I don't know if it's a bird or if it's like it's a fairly new island chain. But nobody's allowed to go there except for researchers. And it's pretty important, but it is weird to me, just on the outside looking in, that all of a sudden, right, the world can't agree on anything, right? We're constantly fighting. We're constantly going to war. People are constantly protesting wars on both sides, even right now.
Yeah.
Right? But... like
everybody's like, places, don't go fucking in there.
Two places where like there is like peace in the Middle East is in space and Antarctica. We have been.
There's one more. There's an island, and it's in the Indian Ocean, and it's south of India, and nobody is allowed to go there. And the one guy that tried to go there and bring him Jesus Christ, they filled him full of arrows.
That is
before he even made it to the shore. He was like throwing Bibles to him and shit.
That is, yeah, like they could read.
Yeah.
Like they're going to read English.
Their planes have got close and they literally have shot arrows and thrown spears at the plane.
I know what that is. It's on the tip of my tongue. Mario, can you? His Rockefeller was, he disappeared there.
Yeah, that's right. And that's right.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But space and Antarctica are two places where, like, Russians, even during the Cold War, Russians and Americans work together, which is crazy to me. Like, there's, in my opinion, something's going on there. There is something that benefits everybody that they either it's knowledge or resources or I don't know what, but like, I remember my roommate was like, you know, he was kind of a stoner, but he was also like a Yoda. And we were talking about this one time and just about electric cars had just come out. And I said, we were just talking about it. He's like, you know how there was like, you know, the copper age and then there was like the bronze age. He's like, we're just in the oil age. And I'm like, man, I never thought of it like that. That's pretty heavy, right?
A lot of petroleum products.
Yeah, but like if that's what you have,
yep.
You know, until something else is discovered before there was no plastic, you know? Like my grandpa was a toy maker. He literally was like the forefront.
Oh, Rockefeller disappeared in Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, that's where that is.
No, that's the island. It's not the island I'm talking about. The island I'm talking about, nobody's allowed to go to.
Sentinel Island.
Is that what it's called?
Mar?
Looking it up.
But, like, it's bizarre that there's all these people working together. They all share knowledge with each other. Which is another thing that's like doesn't happen, right?
Except for space in Antarctica,
right?
That's it.
Sentinel Island,
North Sentinel Island, yeah.
Okay,
yeah. That's a no-go zone for everybody. There's like there might even be a UN agreement about it. I don't know, but nobody's allowed to go there.
And it's completely untouched.
Yeah, it's completely untouched. That those people have witnessed like. A small hand over the years, like decades, they've witnessed a few people, like, and a couple planes have got close. Yeah, any ship that's got close has been fired upon or attacked, and so nobody's gotten close. Whoever's got there has been killed, and it's very few people, just a small handful, but from what I know, and then it's pretty wild. So whatever's going on in that island, it's all up to them. They're still living primitively.
But Antarctica has no people. There's no natives.
There's no natives.
Which is anymore. Also weird to me. Anymore.
Because it's like, I've always said that.
I know, we've talked about
this. The possibility. Yeah, that there's totally the possibility that this civilization's been reset once at least, maybe more. Who knows? You know.
And that kind of brings us to the pyramids of Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
If you see them, of course, the first time you see, you're like, "That's a mountain," but then. You go to what mountains were pyramids?
Mm-hmm.
So there's one in Bosnia
mm-hmm.
that looks like a hill. And you're like, that's a hill.
Yeah.
And then they started excavating it, and there's full on stones that like are it's a pyramid.
Yeah. And that's the thing. If you said it looks like there's pyramids in Antarctica under any other circumstance, and it'd be like, what's the big deal? I don't even, you know, what's that even mean? But the fact that there's pyramids literally on like every continent.
Right.
That that's are proven crazy. Except for Antarctica would be the only one that, that we're like, we don't know. But that, so it would be the outlier if it didn't have them. You know what I mean?
And I mean, you know, when you talk about crazy natural phenomenon, completely unrelated, I was watching Joe Rogan about the Amazon. And the guy said what they found out when they do this mapping is not only are there pyramids, but there's like whole civilizations. And not only that, is that like the Amazon was planted.
Yeah.
Like all those plants and species, and stuff, that's just because they were unchecked. Like nobody cut them, nobody pruned them, and they just were allowed to grow wild. And when they grew wild, that is the, you know, but all that stuff was planted at some point in history. So that's crazy.
Well, because some of those ancient civilizations to grow in the numbers that they grew to would have had to have agriculture.
Absolutely.
To sustain that many people. And that's the problem that they've always had, is that in that case, they know the soil isn't right for agriculture. It's too acidic, and all the plants that live there are adapted to it. But it's for crop growth like corn and stuff. You can't sustain it because of the acidity in the soil, I believe.
So back to Bird. He was searching for New Schwabenland. Specifically, the rumors...
That was the name of the German ship, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
The SS Schwabenland.
Okay.
That was the German ship that was sent to explore and looking for what they said was a place to go hunt whales to get whale oil for margarine.
Specifically.
Yeah.
So they never did find Station 211. But in 2016 in the Arctic in the north, they did find a Nazi radio station that hadn't been touched since the 30s. And when they like did some more research, it was abandoned because the guys ate some undercooked polar bear meat and got sick. But they had set up a base, and it was a radio station, and it was like 1,100 miles from Russia. And they had a small crew. The Nazis had a small crew up there operating this radio station. And it was kind of said throughout the German military that their idea was to have bases to attack from the poles, because they had an advantage over everybody if they could establish bases at the poles. Whereas in Europe, they're kind of surrounded. You know, and this gets back to what Hitler liked about the United States, was how we really did come pretty fast. Like on the scale of world history, you know, what are we, 1776, we're like 200 and almost 50 years in, right?
Yeah.
And we're like, you know, as far as like, we've broken a lot of world records.
Yeah.
As far as like commerce and military and all that.
Yeah.
And part of the reason we've been able to do that, we're isolated. Mm-hmm. You know, we have two big barriers, you know, the Atlantic and the Pacific.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Canada and Mexico.
And, you know, it's been a long time since we've been at war with either of them.
Sorry, love you both countries, but you make good barriers.
So there's a guy on our, I was in a golf league briefly. One time he came to like the golf league with a shirt that said back to back World War Champions.
Yeah. Whatchamacallit? JJ Watt wore one once. It was like on 4th of July when he was still playing.
Did he get flack for it?
Yeah.
I'm sure. So on Reddit, I looked for like some Admiral Byrd stuff, and I did come across his grandson.
Mm-hmm.
Great grandson, I guess, said that they don't really take stock in like the Middle Earth thing, but he doesn't think that that's like a sticky point. He's like, yeah, what he did discover is crazy. Yeah. And he's like, so the reason they don't come to that as a sticky point, because this part of his diary was written in a memoir later after he died.
Yeah.
By somebody else.
Yeah, it so, was his son published it like way later after he died.
And it was ghostwritten too, right? By somebody else?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, we could keep going, but do you want to get into some facts? Or do you want to get into like what we think?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, let's get into what we think. Okay. So I'll go first on this one.
All right.
All right. So the Admiral Byrd story is absolutely fantastic. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I love Middle Earth, that whole idea. I'm not. I do like The Hobbit. I'm not a crazy Lord of the Rings fan. I did bartend at the New Line Cinemas party when Lord of the Rings came out.
Mm-hmm.
And when they lost to Cinderella Man, the whole entire party went south and there were a bunch of drunk hobbits everywhere, which was hysterical. Just a bunch of little 5'5" people just getting hammered because they should have won. They created a whole Middle Earth, right? And they lost to Cinderella Man. But the Byrd story, it was rewritten, and the guy that rewrote it took liberties.
It was like a Spanish newspaper that did an interview with him. And then it was translated, and they took liberties with this translation.
So, yeah, it was way out of context.
Yeah,
because one of the things he said was that the next war we'll have to deal with, what he said was that planes that could fly, you know,
from Antarctica and attack,
right,
that range
pole,
if they had a
pole to pole,
yeah. Well, they said they could move from pole to pole.
And what he meant by that was like a pretty good speed.
Mm-hmm.
And what they took it as was that, you know, like it's more of a instantaneous mm-hmm. type of thing. And they also took it out of context that this was otherworldly.
Mm-hmm.
It is crazy to me that there's a bunch of civilizations that believe in Middle Earth, or it's part of their history or folklore or whatever.
Right.
Like the Great Flood. Because I think people in general believe, if you don't believe in Noah's Ark, you do believe that there was this flood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in Turkey is Mount Ararat, and they have something called, in the CIA, called the Ararat Anomaly. And this guy, I saw this thing on it, and he said, you can't say the N-word. You can't say, they'll shut it down. But you can talk about the Ararat Anomaly. And there is, it looks like a boat. It does look like, it looks like a boat is there. There's also other videos where, like, super rich Chinese people are, like, in the ice looking at these big timbers. But when it comes to the Admiral Byrd story, it's just that. It's a story because, like you said, they were turned around for weather. And I believe that. I believe they were, like, especially looking like it's all wrong, right? They have dogs. They have, like, they're prepared for, like, the Arctic.
Yeah.
Not the, the Antarctic is so much harsher than, you know, the Arctic. First of all, it's a desert.
Yeah, and you can't break ice the whole time. That the Arctic is frozen water, and then Antarctica is frozen ground. Like, it's there's
right
ground under there, not water.
So, I am a non-believer, even though I want to be. And I love the story. I there's just a lot of problems with it. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that the aliens speak German. I don't think they
fans of swastikas.
Yeah, I just that's a hard one to get past. That was a hard one to get past without even doing like any research.
Yeah, alien Nazis.
Right, there's a movie.
Nice ones. They were friendly Nazis too.
right. There's a movie called Iron Sky.
Yeah.
Where have you seen that?
Yeah, with the Nazis on the moon.
Yeah, you've seen that. Not many people have seen that. Actually, our friend in Finland was the one that showed it to me. He's like, "Have you ever seen Iron Sky?" And I'm like, "No."
Yeah, Moon Nazis. And
yeah, we got some Finnish beer and we watched Moon Nazis. Pretty good. I'll give it to him. But like, yeah, that was a problem for me. But then when you do research on it, it's. In my opinion, whatever what I came to find out was it's bullshit. However, I do think there's a pyramid. Like I know, like people say they've been saying those are, you know, just mountains. However, they've been saying that about a lot of mountains that are pyramids, mm-hmm. like especially when you look at like in Mexico. Stuff that was overgrown when they excavated, it's full on pyramids.
Yeah.
But they look like hills before they were excavated. And then, you know, that thing in Bosnia, that's another. And when you were talking about they're all over the earth, they are.
They are. They're on all the continents. I'm pretty positive about that.
And, you know, like my stoner roommate that would drop knowledge all the time, Joe Rogan said, you know, he kind of thought that the Egyptians just happened upon the pyramids,
yeah.
And they're like, "Yeah, we built these."
Yep.
And I never thought about it like that, but like, yeah, I mean, if you're wandering in the desert, if you have scouts in the desert, like looking for people, and you're a king, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, "Dude, there's three giant pyramids," you know.
Did you ever hear Andrew Schwartz where he was talking about? He goes, they can't figure out where they're like, there's pyramids in Egypt and they can't figure out who built them. They can't decide who built them. And he was like, there's pyramids in Mexico too, but nobody doubts who built those.
Yeah, it's true. Right? It's true. but like the oldest pyramid is the biggest one, right?
Oldest in the world now.
Well, no, in Egypt.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure. Okay,
so that one, there's some dispute over how it was built.
Actually, no, there's older ones in Egypt. They're like step pyramids that are
okay, but they fucked up like the later ones, like the bent pyramid. Mm-hmm. Was built after Giza. Mm-hmm. So, like, if they have that knowledge, how'd they fuck up? That somebody didn't carry the one? You know what I mean? Like, somebody was off?
It wasn't passed down properly.
So that leads into the second thing, is that I totally believe that there was an ancient civilization there. And that makes... I mean, I think there's a lot of lost knowledge. There was a book that Mario and I read, and the problem in archaeology is it's just anomalies, is that they say. There's Baghdad gold chains. Baghdad batteries, right. And, I mean, to me, that makes a lot of sense,
some technology is ahead of its time and it doesn't have its use. I mean, that's
absolutely, you don't know what to do with
that. It's happening now even. So,
I mean, like, you know, when I talk about like Bitcoin with people, they're like, I don't know, why would I ever use Bitcoin? And I'm like, well, okay. Well, for one thing, you're not allowed to leave the country with more than $10,000 in cash. Mm-hmm. You go on a list, right? Or you have to check it, and you have to whatever. Okay, but now you can have Bitcoin, fly wherever you want, and just go to a Bitcoin ATM. That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. That's just one small little thing. And the reason that's a big deal is because, like, the blockchain technology, it makes every transaction that happens now obsolete. Like, right now, you go through, if you pay for something at the gas station, it goes through a clearinghouse. And that clearinghouse is like, yeah, Brandon paid $50 to Shell gas station. We owe Shell $50. And that takes 3 days, right?
Yeah, and I'm like, I only got like a sandwich and a drink.
Right. Then you dispute it. That takes 3 days to but now when it's instant, there's nothing, you know, that 3 days is like gone. So like there's little things like that, and yeah, like how do you use that? And you know, that's just one tiny little thing. And yeah, you're right. You have these technologies that show up and you're like, okay, well, what do we do with that? You know? Yeah. And you go back to like Bob Lazar. Okay. You have a technology that you're like, holy shit, this changes everything. But then you're like, yeah, but how do we control it? How do you, you know? What I mean?
Yeah. Cause sometimes sometimes it's centralized reason. It's usually a centralized reason why they're doing something. Or discover something, it's because you were trying to fix something else, you know, and you're focused on this one thing. How do I address this one problem? And it's like those, like we're saying, the Baghdad batteries. If there was like one thing that they were like, if we could just get this to have, you know, some way to turn on by itself, and somebody came up with the battery. And it was for this one thing, but they didn't realize they could like light houses and, you know what I mean? Do all this other stuff with it. And it kind of just died off because it didn't really have a use. I mean, that was the phone. The phone wasn't people were like, what phone? You know, even electric back in the day and lights and stuff like that. People were hesitant about it. People didn't want to do it. Stuff almost died off, you know? Because the electric car,
there was one in 1914, right?
Well, there was a lot of them. So Chicago was like the first city to register vehicles. And when they registered the first so many hundred vehicles, it was like there was the majority of them were electric and steam. And then there was just a couple combustion engines. There's only a handful of combustion engines, but most were electric and steam.
Well, it's a short.
There was as
distance.
Many electric as there were steam. And the electric technology for cars died off because the combustion engine was going faster. Yeah. They could get it to go faster. And they were like, wow, and they just kind of gave up on it.
I mean, and like, okay, this is one. Remember Beta and VHS?
Yeah.
Okay. Beta lost to VHS and everything came out VHS. And yeah. We're totally 90s kids. Mario, right. this might be past your knowledge. But when I moved to Los Angeles, Beta was a higher quality. Everything that you shot on Beta. Because you could use Beta to digitize it,
mm-hmm.
where you couldn't use VHS.
Mm-hmm.
And when they shot VHS or put it on VHS and not Beta, that's why it says this has been formatted for your TV.
Right.
Because you had the TVs different than film. And like there's certain parts of film. Film is 70 millimeter, and you'll see it every once in a while in a movie. One of them is in Pulp Fiction, where Jules turns around and he shoots the guy on the couch. Mm-hmm. If you see, like, that's one shot, but he actually moves within that shot to the left. And that's what that creates that effect. So, like, Beta, up until full digital, the Beta was used for all TV shows. Everything came out and when they did their dailies before they cut it, it went to Beta, not VHS. So in a tiny way like that, it's weird. AI is another one. AI's been around, like that Tom Cruise movie came out fucking forever ago. They've had, like, when we see AI now, everybody's like, it's scary. It's scary because it's been around. Yeah, the first robot that they programmed that had this component of, and artificial intelligence is really in quotes because it's like, does it think for itself or whatever. But it gave a message that it was going to seek out and kill all the humans. unplugged. Right, we're done with you.
Yeah. All right.
But there, in my opinion, something in Antarctica is happening. There is either a ridiculous amount of resources that collectively.
Well, if you think about there was the movie. What the hell was it called? It was the movie about the code breakers of World War II from Britain and Alan Turing, right?
Okay.
And the Turing test.
Imitation Game?
Yeah, there you go. The Turing test.
That's why we hired Mario.
Is to determine AI. If you could, like, when you do a Turing test on AI, you test to see if you can tell the difference between it being a machine and a person. It's called the Turing test. That's how old AI is. Is Alan Turing came up with this test in like 1950.
Wow.
So
yeah, I mean, yeah. So
the movie Ex Machina is basically all about the Turing test.
I'm going to watch that tonight while I'm editing this.
It's a fantastic movie. It's one of my favorites of all time.
I'm going to watch that when I'm editing this. So there's got to be, like, I do think that there is this push that I think more so than any other time in history to either. So how do I say this? There's a link between all human people, like all people, all of us, mm-hmm. that there's a link that goes deeper than this country started, that country, you know, like, because everybody tries to lay claim that they were the first to do X, you know?
Yeah.
And like, you know, like, America is called the Great Experiment. Well, there's been several countries that have done exactly what we did. Mm-hmm. You know, empires. Yeah. There's been several empires that have developed crazy technologies. Like, I've heard that it was more common for Romans to have indoor plumbing than people in America at the turn of the century, 1900, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, everybody claims, like, different things. So I think now there's this push to, like, okay, either we were created, and there's evidence of that somewhere in Antarctica, or, like, there is some kind of technology or resource that's there that collectively, like, these nations that typically don't get along, get mm-hmm. along there. And I don't know why they would. Fear. Because it's there. Maybe. Fine. Okay, cool. Maybe it is fear. And they're like, you know what? Something's up.
Yeah.
And so as much as there's like the UFO or UAP or whatever, they've also said there's USOs where, like, you know, spaceships fly right into the ocean without a splash.
Yeah, or rise up out of it.
There's also, like, where they fly through mountains. That's been observed. And they don't know how that happens. And mm-hmm. so, like, you know, if there's some kind of force or resource and, you know, it was discovered through Antarctica, because that one pyramid, they say it's 2 kilometers on each side and it's perfectly square. And if you look at that range, quotes, it looks like Giza, dude. It looks like they're all in line, just like the pyramids in Egypt. And then when they say, like, well, what were they? They're like, well, it's like a power station.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, man, I'm all in that there was an ancient civilization. I'm all in that we still don't understand the pyramids. There's some kind of technology there. It exists in Antarctica, and maybe because it's untouched, they're able to study it. I don't believe in the Admiral Byrd Middle Earth theory, because I don't believe that aliens speak German or that they have swastikas. However, there was the Bell UFO was this technology that Germans came up with. And it was another thing they didn't understand. They surrounded this thing with, it looked like a bell, and they surrounded it with electric current. And they didn't know what to do with it. So I don't think the Admiral Byrd thing happened. I do think that Antarctica is a place for everybody to collectively study, whether it's out of fear or that it's knowledge. They're like, just send scientists down there. Like, everybody's cool. We're cool. We're not going to fight. You know, like don't steal technology. Let's share knowledge. Let's try to figure it out. It's like its own Area 51 where they're trying to figure out whatever's going on down there. So that's kind of where I stand.
For me, I'm like, in my head, it's like, okay, Admiral Byrd, the the reason they went down there was one, to find out what the Germans were doing. Two, they were going to try and establish Antarctica as a sovereign United States territory. And they didn't tell anybody. And they, when they got down there, they didn't find the base. And at that time, there was already talks in the works about, because who's not going to perk up when they see, you know, a whole freaking fleet of 13 ships from the United States heading to Antarctica, you know? All the other countries are going, hey, what are you doing? You know? Mm-hmm. And so I think talks started, and I think we were advanced enough as a civilization to see that count, the writing on the wall. So they got together and they said, hey, this is off limits because we see the potential for this to be fought over and warred over and destroyed. And you know what I mean? And this should be a place for research. And I think stronger heads prevailed on it. I don't, as far as all the rest of it's concerned, very much so could have been a lush tropic whatever land, and we saw a pole shift and that it went to shit, you know what I mean, overnight, and it's buried so deep under snow that nobody could ever know. You know, it could totally be, who knows, because it's one of those things where it's like, it's such a massive place, it's so unexplored, that anything could be out there. You know, if there's some kind of like, you know, warming, like you're saying, from underground, could there be like life out there? I think the idea that there's like woolly mammoths running around sounds cool, but I don't know what's going on, and just like I don't know what's going on in the bottom of the ocean, so I can't say anything about the rest of it because I have no clue. Like, it's so far beyond my reach and sight. And, you know what I mean? I don't believe that diary stuff, you know?
So Joe Rogan had a guy on that was down there, and he's like, okay, so what's going on there? And he's like, well, it's, for one thing, it's, he's like, you have no idea. He's like, I thought I knew what, like, crevasses in the ice were. He's like, they're miles deep.
Yeah.
He's like, and you can't, there's nothing that could get you out.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it's terrifying. He's like, yeah. He's like, I'm like, bring it, whatever. Let's do it. He's like, but when I was down there, he's like, you are constantly out of 10 of awareness of where you're at.
Yeah, because it's like millions of years of snow, you know?
It's like crazy.
Thousands and thousands and thousands of years of snow. It's like, so who knows what's going on out there, and who knows what was there, you know? Who knows if that whole continent slid down to that position as the, you know, tectonic plate action and Pangaea broke apart and blah, blah, blah. Or was it something that was much earlier than that and the poles shifted or something like that? So,
so what about, because you're like me, you believe that there was a civilization or something before. So what about that in Antarctica?
What now?
Like an advanced civilization before.
Yeah, it's totally possible. I mean, they could have been living high on the hog, right? You could even had it to the point where it was like some, remember the show we did about the guy that went like 3,000 years into the future?
Right.
It could be like a, it could have been a civilization like that. They could have been so far beyond what we were, and then this catastrophic world changing event happened, like a pole shift, and boom, they're done, you know, and it wipes everybody out. So who knows?
It's bizarre that it has,
because a lot of the other land could have been unlivable to them, you know.
Because the difference in the North and the South Pole is that the North Pole is like frozen tundra and ice, but then the South Pole, it's elevated. Mm-hmm. Like there is a definite wall.
Well, think about it. Think about it like this. Right now, if there was like, say there was like this pole shift, right? And and the people, like, if, or not even a pole shift, if, just imagine if there was like kind of like a deep freeze or something, you know, we went through an ice age, and your warmest points are going to be around the equator. So if there's like a catastrophe, like, what was that one movie where it was like all of a sudden they had like It froze like instantly. Everything was freezing.
Oh, the day after tomorrow,
or something like that. Yeah, like some cyclonic force or whatever. So if you got like everything freezes, right, and all those people are like killed off, the people that would have the highest chance of survival would be the people that lived in the warmest places, which would be closest to the equator. Correct. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of technology around the equator.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So the people that would survive most likely would be very under technologically advanced. They'd be primitive still. Like there's a lot of primitive living people on the equator.
Well, as somebody that like,
so if they inherited the Earth, it'd be like a do-over.
Okay. I mean, I had...
If there was only, like, these small pockets of people that were left over, and they were, like, already living in mud huts, you know what I mean? And didn't understand anything outside of their village, or even why this event happened, you know what I mean? And then people would have to migrate again, move to the different places, and they'd still be primitive, because they'd leave any knowledge they have behind. And carry with them just what they could remember and pass down if they did, you know what I mean? So, and if you didn't read and write either, you know, which you don't want to say that about the people, but it's true. There's, if you think about the people, because it's
different civilizations kept,
it's easier to live around the
record keeping was different. Like, sometimes it's stories, sometimes it's written, sometimes, you know, and then that evolves. But
struggle advances technology. So
absolutely.
Like,
that's what I was just going to say. I had a house in, like, way out in the country, and everything I learned to do, it was out of necessity. Mm-hmm. Absolutely every single thing I learned to do was out of necessity.
Right.
And I agree with you there.
Yeah. And nowadays you got YouTube, so it don't matter where you're at. But if everything was gone and the only people around didn't know how to build it, you know, eventually they would, because necessity, but it would be like a hard restart. And when you're talking about dwindling down to such small numbers, all that history is going to get lost. You got to figure that like 99.9% of the world's history would be lost if only the people that, like, only small groups of people that lived near the equator remained. 99.9% of all the history of the world would be gone, because it's not like, I mean, there's stuff I don't know about other, you know, there's tons of history of all these other regions that we don't know. We know the big events and the, you know, the memorable stuff. And even then, how much are you going to get right? How much are you going to get wrong? People get...
So, Sharon, verbally. So, yeah, civilization could get started all over again, and there totally could have been Antarctica or anywhere on the planet, really, honestly. The whole planet.
So that book is called the Lost Star of Myth and Time. And that says a lot of what you're saying.
Yeah.
And like back to Turkey, there, I don't know. There's a village right next to Noah's Ark. That book was what Mario was telling me. Who is it, Mar?
Walter Cruttenden was the author of it.
Okay, that's a really good book, dude. Honestly, it talks about all these different, like the Baghdad Battery. It talks about all these different things that, you know, come up with exactly what you're saying with, like, maybe people just had to jet and, you know, like, and all that progress was, like, lost, you know?
Yeah. I think that, well, because there's evidence that that's happened already on our planet. Like I said, there's stuff that, you know, I'll keep bringing them up, but the Baghdad batteries, because I've always been fascinated by them, because I'm like, you know, that's just like a example of a technology that was discovered and then was, you know, lost forever, you know, because it was lost for a long time till we rediscovered how to make batteries, you know what I mean? But it was a battery. I mean, it was essentially it was a battery.
It is a battery, right? Because it was a coil.
Mm-hmm.
It was a copper coil.
Yep.
And they used pig stomach acid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that created a charge.
Yeah, and they sealed tops with like tar and yeah.
So, like, just real quick, in Turkey, they're right next to where Noah's Ark quotes. there's this village called the Village of Arzep,
yeah,
which stands for the Village of Eight.
Yeah.
And there are eight people on Noah's Ark when it landed. So, yeah, man.
Well, in Turkey, that's in that country, like, if you watch, they got when they do construction and they mm-hmm. have to like excavate, if they come right. across anything like that, they have to shut down the site and wait for archaeologists to come in and remove whatever it is. Sometimes they shut down for a long time. And one of those times happened where they were building something and they came across these old timbers and they stopped. It was one of those huge construction companies and huge sites. So they have there's an on-site archaeologist. Mm. So they come across these timbers and he shuts the site down and they discovered the world's oldest seaport.
Fuck, right?
And it was like there was boats and dock.
Right.
And this was underground.
So even right now in Namibia,
mm-hmm.
there's a whole desert full of like shipwrecks.
Yeah.
Because like the way that the ocean shifted,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah, dude, it's shit like that's crazy. Like, yeah. And back to your Turkey thing,
mm-hmm.
there was a guy in Turkey that was like remodeling his house.
Yeah.
And he found like something crazy, like a 5,000 year old like cave inhabited that just was tied to the house somehow.
Yeah.
And they had to, like you said, they stopped. They brought in all these archaeologists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's nuts, man.
Yeah, Turkey. That happens in Turkey a lot, where they get the right. they find these. It's crazy how old some of the stuff that they're finding is. But that
what's funny. There was a. Did you ever see that? There's a movie with Matthew Perry, and it's Salma Hayek. It's called Fools Rush In.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And at the beginning, they're at like a cocktail party. It's like an artist show, and it's all butts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like buzz from around the world.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's one from Turkey. And he's like, I didn't realize things were so hairy down in Turkey. Yeah. all right. So where are you at? Where are you staying?
I think Bird went there for some secret military reasons, disguised as exploration, and nothing really panned out for them. And they came back, and who knows what the fuck's out there.
Yep. All right. So on Bird, we're doubtful.
I don't believe that's a super meticulous log while you're flying a plane.
I agree.
So if you go and look us up and listen, because you can find it, and there's even a video where the guy reads the log verbatim or whatever, and it's like he was writing this while he was flying the plane.
I agree because like all flight entries are like they're 4 or 5 word sentences.
Yeah not like this is incredible, I believe I saw a mammoth. I'm gonna get closer right. So that I can use my binoculars. It's definitely a mammoth. You're writing all this while you're flying a plane. All right. That's cool. Because it's totally like journal logs. It's like,
it is.
It puts the time and everything. So.
Okay. Then what about like pyramids and things like that?
I don't believe there's anything active out there, but I don't know. I just think that there could have been something.
Active, but like, you think that chain of mountains?
Super possible.
Okay. And then what about it used to be a continent that was flourishing?
Super possible.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say Bird. So we're doubtful on Bird, and then super possible on the rest of Antarctica.
Yeah, yeah.
And rock on, Antarctica. You guys are awesome. I feel like one thing that's missing in our Antarctica is like a band going there and having a concert.
If we say Antarctica enough and you put it in the title enough, maybe somebody in Antarctica will listen to us and we'll pick up another country.
Yeah, because we don't have Antarctica, do we?
I know. That would be wild.
I really feel like that is something. If I was still in a band, I was still playing, I would be live from Antarctica. And I would have all 5,000, right? Even if it's all 300 in the winter, you know? And I would do a concert live from Antarctica, and I would put that shit on YouTube. That would be hot. That would be hot. Everybody would fucking watch it, you know? And I don't know why somebody hasn't done that yet. Like, I don't know who's, like, fucking, I hate to say it. You know who should do it? I hate it. Taylor Swift should fucking do it. Like, so it's got to be somebody that's like at the pinnacle.
You're gonna get a bunch of little girls killed in the Antarctic winter.
You know what, there, man? I mean, like, it's got to be somebody like that, right? It's got to be somebody like Prince is dead, but like, it's got to be like somebody.
Vanilla Ice. Oh,
Mario.
Vanilla Ice.
Coming in strong. Yeah, but I mean, he's got one song. He's going to go all the way down there for one song.
For one song.
Yeah, who else could be there? Snow.
Yeah.
Former.
Yeah.
Ice Cube.
Yep.
Maybe you have Snow, Ice Cube, Vanilla Ice.
Ice Tea.
Ice Tea. You mean to tell me? No, but I think that's a missed opportunity. But I think we nailed it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm good with that. You good with that?
Yep.
All right, cool. I'm Anthony.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Mario.
And this is Everything That's Weird.
For show notes and merchandise, go to www.everythingthatsweird.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. and be sure to like, subscribe, and review anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Thank you for listening. See you next time. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to contribute, please go to our Patreon page at Everything That's Weird. Check us out on Instagram at Everything That's Weird or Twitter at ETWPod. Or if you'd like to send us an old-fashioned email, go to everythingthatsweird@gmail.com.